How many of you have received your invitation to the coronation of King Charles III? What a bunch of losers. I think we need another revolution. King Charles, we're reading about it now. They're getting ready for it, all this razzmatazz, bringing out the jewels. So what? We have got the King of Kings in our midst. Remember that. We have got the King of Kings in our midst. And our King of Kings, of course, is the King. There is no one greater. Charles III will live and die. But the King of Kings has redeemed us, has resurrected, is in our midst right now. And our King of Kings is the type of king that always is pursuing us, always wooing us, always coming after us and saying, hey, I got good news for you, follow me. And we have that in today's gospel reading of the two disciples on their way to Emmaus. Here, they're walking along, they've come out of Jerusalem, they're kind of downcast, they are debating one another, you know, what went on. We thought that this guy, Jesus, would redeem Israel, but he died, he was crucified. And now we're hearing rumors that something has happened, but these two really didn't know what was going on. So Jesus shows up. He shows up to walk with them and talk with them. You know, there's that wonderful old biblical song, well, he walks with me and he talks with me. That's what Jesus is doing. He's not back in Jerusalem saying, well, I hope they get the message. He's out there going out to the people, pursuing them, giving them the information they need. So as they walk along, what does Jesus do? And that's what we do at Mass. He explains the scriptures. He explains the story, which we're supposed to know. The story of how in the Old Testament God did this and that, and then Jesus fulfilled all of those promises. So that's what Jesus is doing. And again, we come to church to hear the scriptures, which is the presence of Jesus Christ, one of his presences in our midst. And we come to understand more fully not only our story and who we are, but who Jesus is, and especially who he is in our midst, constantly coming to us. So they walk along, and they get to where they're going to stop for the night, and they say, join us, and Jesus joins them. And how do they recognize him? In the breaking of the bread at Mass. Suddenly their eyes are open because they see something happening that they know about, and they know it's about Jesus. They know it is the full presence of Jesus. So Jesus does everything. I mean, he's the perfect disciple, the perfect catechist, the perfect presider at Eucharist. And so the people come to know who he is. Now, the two who go to Emmaus, they don't say, well, you know, I'm kind of tired. Let's wait till tomorrow to go back to Jerusalem. No, they say, let's go. And so they go right back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they have been given the good news. And they don't want to hold on to it. They want to give it away. So they rush back and they share what they have recognized at the breaking of the bread and what they have heard with the other ones. And then the other ones are saying, yeah, we too had this stuff happen to us. So they got this joy and this energy going. But it's always, this is great news. Who do we need to tell next? Peter does that in the first reading today. He's not kind of a wallflower, says, I don't know if I should get up and talk to anybody, but rather he is boldly talking about Jesus Christ. And he's not afraid to say to the people listening to him, you know, it was you people that handed the Messiah over to be killed. But despite that, Jesus still wants you to be redeemed. That's the good news. And so that's what Peter preaches to the people. So we have in our stories today really what the church is supposed to be and do and continue to do as a response to our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So God's constantly wooing us, following us, coming after us to encourage us to come to him. And that's the model of evangelization. We're supposed to be doing that too. constantly pursuing people and saying, it's all about Jesus Christ. You've got issues, you've got wounds, you want to be healed. Well, we want to be healed too. That's why we come together to listen to the scripture readings, to celebrate the Eucharist, so that we can be on fire with the gospel message, or as the prefaces tell us, to be overcome with paschal joy. So certainly the two disciples on the way to Emmaus were overcome with paschal joy because they got the revelation. Jesus told them what's going on. Well, we have the same revelation. We have the same good news. Are we overcome with paschal joy? Are we on fire with our faith? Are we going out constantly to pursue people and tell them, enjoy the good news of salvation? Or are we saying, well, I can't do that, let so-and-so do it, or, you know, it'll happen, hopefully God will miraculously appear to people. Well, God says to us, follow me, do what I did, continue to spread the gospel message so that other people can come to know and love the Lord. And that's really the message of Easter. It's not just about Jesus, who through his death and his resurrection redeemed the world, defeating the power of sin and death. It's also about us, because God did it for you and me. He did it for every single human being. God's desire is that every single human being be saved. So this is fantastic news, what's going to go on in Westminster Abbey, whenever. Beautiful ceremony, you can watch it on TV, but it's a very earthly thing, even though God will be called upon. But we have the eternal God, the magnificent God, the King of Kings, who is always in our midst, again, especially when we break bread together, when we come together at Mass. We have the real presence of Jesus in the readings that we hear, in the breaking of the bread, the body and blood of Christ, in myself as the ordained minister, and in this body, we're like a large tabernacle where the real presence of God is right here with us now. What more could we ask for? So what do? We have music, we have beautiful things that we use in the celebration, and it's not that we can give anything to God except our love and our desire and our work, but it's so God can give to us himself, so that we can be like those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, filled with longing, desire, an interest in what's happening, and then taking what we hear, the good news, and taking it out into the world. So think of yourselves as you go out these doors. You're the disciples on the way to Emmaus. You're going somewhere. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what he means to you. And then pursue somebody with that good news. Let them in on the good news of salvation, because that's what we are called to do as his disciples. So we're all on the way to Emmaus, and we're also running back to Jerusalem to share the news. So think of that as the model for our lives, to constantly go forth, to find people, to tell people what the truth is, to explain the gospels, so that everyone can become a disciple. Everyone a disciple on the road to Emmaus, encountering the Lord, coming to believe, and then sharing that good news with others. We are disciples. So as we go forth again, do it. Do what disciples do best. Proclaim the gospel message in word and deed, so others may come to know the Lord.